0818 715 815. Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. Cullum Mungine here, 0818 715 815 for your calls. Joe at rte.ie for your emails. 51551 for your texts, or you can get us on WhatsApp, 087 184 3709. Now, 59,166 candidates entered to take the Leaving Certificate mathematics exams, and 25,000 of them almost took the higher paper. And what they went into on Friday morning, if our email inbox is anything to go by, was a source of shock, disappointment, upset to an awful lot of them, and also by proxy their teachers and their parents, their teachers who'd worked hard to prepare them over 2 years, some people obviously going the extra mile to get grinds over those 2 years. So a second set of teachers disappointed by what came up in the paper, the parents who had to deal with people's calming children down over the course of the weekend in order to prepare them for another week of exams, which began today with maths paper two. People are coming, have been coming out of that exam, some of them, the vast majority of them, going into Irish in the afternoon. But maths paper two was something they were hoping perhaps to revise some of the subjects for, some of the topics, the likes of trigonometry, which would normally come up in maths paper two, which popped up on maths paper one. Just one of a number of causes of upset for people over the weekend. Now, one student who took time, was so upset by Friday's paper, took time out of their schedule today to get in contact with us, to send us a voice note between exams, just to outline exactly what it's like for a student who sat in and faced that paper on Friday and was facing into maths paper two today. This is Roisin.
My name is Roisin Farrelly and I'm a Leaving Cert student in Clochamara in Ennis, County Clare. I had higher level maths paper one last Friday. And honestly, it was our first week of exams. We never did a junior cert really, but I felt somewhat prepared. Maths is not my best subject, but you know, I was looking forward to getting, I suppose, half of maths out of the way and just finishing the week on a good note. But I think I can speak for every Leaving Cert student when I say that maths paper one was an awful shock. As in, it was definitely harder than the mock paper my class or my school was given. And compared to last year's paper, there was a huge discrepancy in difficulty, which kind of confuses me, because fair enough, you're going to make the paper hard. Make every year's paper hard. Fair enough, you're going to make the paper easy. Make every year's paper easy. It just really, really confused me on why there's such a difference in difficulty year on year. And I think really it is the State Examinations Commission's job to ensure that something like this doesn't happen. After the exam, I was fine myself, but I saw so many other girls who I know are brilliant at maths. They're in my class. Leaving the exam hall, there was tears, there was shock, there was trauma on people's faces. And I think that that maths paper one genuinely was putting people off doing higher level maths. It was discouraging them from pursuing the subject. I think you should be encouraging people to do higher level maths instead of giving them papers that really they're not prepared for, and just scouring the syllabus to examine something that hasn't been examined before just for the sake of it, picking things that teachers maybe don't even have time to teach. My maths grinds teacher had a very similar reaction, and I know a lot of teachers around the country had a very similar reaction. I think overall everybody was very, very disappointed with maths paper one on Friday, and honestly, it's just a shame that it had to happen, especially to a year like us who have actually never done a junior cert. So I don't know what happened up in the State Examinations Commission, but hopefully they'll rectify it and something like this will not happen next year.
And that's Roisin Farrelly from Ennis. That was the her reaction to it. And bear in mind, Roisin says she got grinds, and relatively speaking, she said she was fine, but clearly some of the people in her class that she saw leaving the exam centre were distraught. As I say, Roisin contacted us from Ennis. Noel, you're contacting us from Mullingar. And the girls who left that exam hall in Ennis weren't the only ones that were distraught.
Absolutely not, Colin. I think as a parent and a mum of a teenager sitting in the Leaving Cert this year, the stress and strain on the class of 22 is unbelievable. You know, this cohort did not sit a state exam previously. You know, they entered fifth year, missing some of the fundamental basics and subjects due to online remote teaching during COVID. You know, the schools are struggling with teacher absences. This cohort of students are expected to deliver as if no such obstacles exist. And I just don't think it's very fair on them. Where does the accountability sit? The minister needs to come out and address this. You know, the higher level paper was very, very difficult. You know, they certainly were not prepared for the level of difficulty. And I suppose my question is, you know, there's no comparison between the last number of years. And I'd like to know the percentage of, I'm sure the percentage, you know, people out there that will be able to maybe put a stats on this, but the percentage of difficulty between last year's paper versus the paper of 2023. You know, we've had, schools have experienced teacher absences. You know, schools, classes have been without teachers for weeks and weeks on end. Does the minister know this? Does the person who's, you know, correcting the exam know that my child or my student hasn't had a teacher for weeks on end? Like, I don't know how these students are supposed to go in and sit exams when there is such high level of teacher absenteeism in the classroom. And in fairness, the schools are doing their very best. The management in the schools are doing their very best to try and deal with this. But it's a problem and it exists. Getting back to the exam, you know, maths is a requirement for most college places. And let's face it, most people that are doing higher level maths need it for a course place, or they want the extra 25 points.
How big a part of your daughter's plans was higher level maths? Because for a lot of people, it's not really treated, often teachers would say, as a single subject. The work that has to go into higher level maths is a subject and a half, and there are point bonuses going for it for people who want to go on. That was stepped down for a few years, but it's back, point bonuses for mathematics in order to get people into the kind of courses like engineering and computer science and all of those other kind of things that are vital to the economy. But in terms of your daughter's plans for her leaving cert, how big a part of her plans was higher level maths and the points she might garner from it?
Look, she doesn't need maths as such for her college position or her college course, but she does need to pass maths in order to get into her college place. But the thing about it, she was doing it for the 25 extra points. The amount of work these students have put in is unbelievable. Compared to any other subject they're studying, the amount of time and study they've put into maths over the last 2 years is unbelievable.
Can you give us a sense of what it was like coming out? Because you say that, you know, she wasn't banking on it per se, but, you know, she obviously needs it like everybody else to pass it. Did she come out of that exam on Friday worried that she may not have passed it?
Well, look, she put in a lot of work, so she was expecting to get her 25 extra points, naturally. She's coming out of the school on Friday, like a lot of extra students, thinking, did we pass paper one? And the thing about it is, a lot of them would maybe score higher than paper one and than paper two. So then they had a whole weekend of trying to prepare for paper two, worrying about how they had gotten on in paper one. So it
and
has
how
a,
was
has
she over the weekend trying to do that, trying to get her
They're
head
worried.
Straight?
Like, we have a saying in our house, you know, chuck it in the bucket. So once it's over and done with, forget about it, move on. But the students could not do that this weekend because they had that extended worry from paper one, bringing it into a paper two first thing this morning.
And did your daughter describe to you just, you know, the reaction when she went in? And like everybody else, you know, you read through your paper, you look at what topics you're going to answer because there is some limited choice on the paper. But she read through it. How did she feel when she saw the paper?
The reaction is shock. And I think that's a national reaction. The majority of students, like, I'm sure there was shock all over, even for that, like, the high H students hoping to get a H1 and a H2. Naturally enough, they want to do well as well. But for the students that are in around the H3, H4, or even lower than that, somebody is probably just maybe trying to scrape by and get the 25 extra points. They are the students that are really concerned. The bell curve is not going to help someone that hasn't written something down on paper.
Now, this is the bell curve where they look at how people performed in the exam and then they kind of decide what is a H1, the top mark, right down. And it's basically based on people's performance, the marking scheme is adjusted accordingly.
I can't understand how that's going to help a student that has performed very poorly in this exam.
Right. If they got such a shock that maybe they just mental blanked a question, is it?
Yes. Yes, they did. And, you know, students left the exam early. You know,
really?
People were
so upset they left the exam early in the exam centre your daughter was sitting in.
Not necessarily in the exam centre that my daughter was in, but we've heard other stories whereby students just walked out. They weren't able for it. So, you know, I suppose it has a knock-on effect. They have a hard week ahead of them this week. I can't understand
how was
how
she
the
going
minister
off this morning, by the way? You know, I mean, she had to go in and do maths paper 2 this morning. What were the nerves
absolutely
like this morning?
Absolutely dreading it. you know, the pep talks were given over the weekend, you know, in fairness, you know, she has good support at home and good friend support as well. And I think the friends were actually helping one another out. But they were saying if they didn't laugh, they would actually cry. This is how serious this is. They were almost making a joke out of how difficult it was so that they wouldn't, you know, have a breakdown over it.
And did they get to talk to their teachers about it? I mean, did their own maths teacher, what was their own maths teacher's analysis of it after the fact?
Well, I think the general consensus with the maths teachers is that it was a very, very difficult paper. And I suppose some of the teachers may be wondering if they had their students prepared correctly for it, because they wouldn't have expected this cohort of students, after going through so much, you know, with COVID and with the lack of support there was on the ground at that time going into fifth year, you know, lack of student or lack of teachers, etc. I don't think that the teachers themselves thought it was going to be this difficult.
Right.
I heard one teacher in Moat saying it is the hardest paper they've seen in, you know, in 10 years. So I just am very disappointed. I just don't think that the department, you know, are supporting this cohort of students. And I do, I suppose, worry for the mental health of these students.
We got a response from the State Examinations Office, the State Examinations Commission. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
It says that this is about the people who set the paper. And we obviously can't read it out in its entirety, but I'll give you some of the highlights of it. They say examination papers and draft marking schemes are developed through a rigorous development process to meet the requirements. They say those involved are experts in the subject who are experienced teachers. And as part of the normal paper development process, the maths papers were reviewed by subject experts before they were finalised. Now, in a separate statement, they did tell our colleague Emma O'Kelly in the newsroom that each year candidates have encountered both straightforward problems of a routine nature and ones that have been less familiar to them and have required them to apply their mathematical knowledge. And I don't know what this phrase means, but it says, an understanding in these less practiced contexts.
Well, look, my reply there is that nobody goes into a higher level math paper expecting it to be, you know, a walk in the park. They expect challenge, but they do not expect the paper to be undoable. And for the most part, the majority of students that came out of that exam on Friday felt it was undoable. And there is absolutely something wrong with that.
Right. And it said there's a section in the response we got from the State Examinations Commission that quotes the minister. It said the minister also gave a commitment that there would be no, quote, cliff edge or automatic return to pre-pandemic grade profiles for Leaving Cert results this year. The commitment to avoid a cliff edge in the profile results is likely to require an adjustment in the marks awarded to students. So that's what the minister's commitment was, that there wouldn't be a cliff edge. Go on, yeah?
Yeah. What I would say is the minister packed a bus with six-year students. She put them in it and she got out of the bus and she pushed it over the cliff edge.
Right. You think that cliff edge did happen this year?
I certainly do, yes.
Right.
With maths paper one, yes.
And did your daughter get grinds over the course of the last 2 years? You said there was kind of difficulties.
Absolutely. No. She got grinds to improve herself and to help her along the way.
How much is a grind, as a matter of interest? What's the going rate for a grind by the hour?
I honestly don't know, but I suppose you're looking from anything from 20 to 40 or 50 euros an hour.
Right.
You know,
a lot goes into it.
Absolutely. And, you know, we do, as parents, we do this for our children because we want the best for them. And we want to help them along. But I suppose we just feel that the minister, and, you know, I would like to actually hear from the minister directly. The minister is responsible for this. The book stops with her. So I'd like to hear what she has to say about it.
Well, some people have been calling for, you know, people being allowed to avail of resits over the summer on a different paper so that they can have a second go at paper one. How do you think your daughter would feel about that?
I think she would probably welcome it, but that's not going to suit everybody. You know, people have plans made for the summer. So while my daughter might take the advantage of that, I'm not sure that will be suitable for every student. So I'm not sure what the answer to this problem is.
Right,
it's a mess.
You do want to hear the minister's explanation for it. You want the minister to stand over this and explain what went on this year and why.
Yeah, because the book stops at her.
All right, Pierce Ryan in Limerick. We've heard now from Ennis and from Mullingar. Pierce Ryan, you're a maths teacher in Limerick. What was your assessment of the paper?
You know what? I think my assessment doesn't even matter, to be quite honest with you. I think it's the students' assessment. They were the ones that were in the hall. They were the ones that sat it. They were the ones that tried to hold in the tears through the exam. they were the ones that released the tears that I saw when I saw them coming out of the exam. So I think it's the student's voice and it's the parent's voice that are the number one priorities here.
All right, would you just take us back to Friday morning?
The teachers like myself are probably the third in line for the priority to listen to here. I mean, for
I can just quote one student here.
And I've sent your researchers the link to this. The 6 secondary school years we've spent doing maths didn't feel like it should have come down to that test. I was so up in a heap that I couldn't try to calmly figure stuff out, so I probably lost marks due to stress. Imagining myself in the exact same seat next year having to repeat. A lot of students are saying that they feel like they're going to have to repeat this year, the whole year, because of this paper. We didn't have a good opportunity to show what we learned because it just felt like they were testing whether we were all prodigies or not. That was it. Whoever, it was like a vindictive sort of a paper. And I don't want to demonise the poor person who had the job of setting this paper, but it does seem like it was a vindictive paper.
Well,
There's definitely stuff I knew how to do that went over my head because of the panic. See, they were panicking. So there was like this, you know, the panic was the reaction. That's traumatising for students. I would abandon questions out of stress, trying to find something manageable, and it just got progressively worse. So as you work your way through the paper, it just gets progressively worse and worse. And I worked my way through the paper. I spent 2 hours at it on Friday night and another hour on Saturday morning. I was exhausted after it. In the last 5 minutes, here's the student again. I went through page by page wondering where the examiner was going to scrape together marks so I could pass. Seeing people so upset after that exam was just wrong. That's the student. All I know is her name is Jane and she posted that online one day ago. That's all I know about her. She's got 26 thumbs up and no thumbs down. That's just one example. Can I just give you something else?
Yeah, sure.
So that's a student's response, okay? I'll give you a parent's response. Again, don't know the person. Posted on Facebook. That's Teachers of Ireland group on Facebook if you want to go on and look at it. As a parent of a Leaving Cert student and higher level maths teacher, so this parent is both a parent and a higher level maths teacher, I have emailed Norma Foley to express my concern over paper one last Friday. Could I suggest that others might do the same? I feel we must speak up. There are strength in numbers. Ninart without corle, corle, caela, isn't that what they say?
That's what they say, yeah.
And maybe we can make somebody listen. So that's a parent. So as I say, the student voice is the most important one here. But of course, unfortunately, they're all inside sitting in Irish papers at the moment. And then I just want to quote you a teacher who is much more able to talk better than I am. Just give you one example. The fellow I know, he's very... Well, you'll see from what he says that he's well able to talk. Here's what he says. Does anyone know if there was a change of examiner this year? The style seems to have changed substantially. So that's the point that was made by a lot of your previous talkers there. The student who said that, you know, the consistency from year to year, there's also a huge lack of consistency from paper one to paper two, because you'll hear that paper two reaction today was much better and much more normal sort of reaction. Anyway, just to go on with the teacher, this is what he said. The style seems to have changed substantially. It's like the regular butcher who normally serves the finest cuts of meat has been replaced with someone who collected all the random leftovers from the slaughterhouse floor and serves them up as some sort of a cheap pudding. It is still technically part of the cow, but only barely. That's from a teacher. So I've quoted a student, a parent, and a teacher.
Pierce, will you just explain what the State Examinations Commission said? That they wanted students to tackle problems which would have less familiar to them and less practiced.
How would anybody know,
I suppose, what's less familiar or less practiced unless, is it phrased in a particular way that makes it hard to recognise?
When we set up a maths paper, when you set up a maths exam paper, it's a process, by the way, that takes about 18 months as far as I understand it. I was shocked to discover that it takes that long. I'd love to know if this one took 18 months. I suspect it didn't. But
it seems to have taken maybe a bit longer, because they're incorporating some of the developments from previous years. So the State Examinations Commissions, in their response to us, said in 2021 and 2022, there were two rounds of adjustments. One of them was that there were fewer questions in the same time, so people had effectively more time to do their paper. And secondly, that there was, greater choice in 2022. Yeah. And then these 2021 and 2022 innovations were combined for 2023, which they're arguing gave people more time per question and more choice. What do you say
to that? From what I've heard, and I only heard what you said there. I haven't read this, the State Exams Commissioner remarks. I'd like to see both statements. They sound to me a bit like sort of boilerplate, quickly issued statements. They haven't listened to the student voice. They haven't listened to the parent voice. They haven't listened to the teacher voice. They're kind of a, how would you describe them? They're not open to listening to anybody. They're unaccountable, I would say. I think just this whole thing is a kind of a symptom of the fact that the education system is kind of fractured. You've got the department, you've got the NCCA, you've got the SEC, the State Exams Commission, you've got the teachers, you've got the schools, you've got the inspectorate, and you've got the unions, and none of them are really talking to each other. And, you know, like a lot of systems in this country, it's broken. And part of the problem here, too, I'm scratching my head all weekend trying to figure out what could have gone wrong here. It's probably partly down to staff problems.
Well, everyone
in the country has staff problems at the moment. So that's probably part of the real issue. I think what needs to happen, though, is the State Exams Commission and the Minister and the Department need to sit down and have a very honest discussion about what actually went wrong here. And they need to issue an apology to the students, primarily, to the parents.
And do you think the criteria for people qualifying for a resit should be broadened to allow people to avail of a resit opportunity?
Look, there's lots of different options there. Resit is one I hadn't even thought of, that, to be honest with you. There's lots of different. They need to sit down. As I've written down here as a note in front of myself, you know, the first thing I heard about resit was when you mentioned it there 2 minutes ago. And my reaction to that is they've made the mess. It's up to them to fix it.
All right. Well, the State Examinations Commission, examinations.ie, they've issued I won't even try and read out the link, but there is a link, they say, for the details of adjustments for 2023. So they say they're being transparent in what those adjustments were. I just want to go, Ciara, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from
Piers. Ciara, where are you calling from?
I'm from Lucan in County Dublin.
All right. So your daughter sat maths paper one. How is she?
Yeah. She was absolutely traumatised, if I'm being honest with you. And I don't say that lightly. You know, she left that paper on Friday and thought, what's the point in sitting the rest of the exams? Pure anxiety over the weekend, number of panic attacks, even up to last night, said that she didn't see any point in going in to sit the exam this morning. Obviously she went in, but, you know, I actually did get a text from her there earlier to say paper two, thankfully, wasn't as bad. And what came up was what was expected to come up, you know, like what they've studied over the last 2 years. The paper covered the course that they had studied, had been taught over the 2 years. So she, you know, felt a bit happier about it, but still not sure whether she got... you know, the marks today to cover what happened with paper one.
Yeah, to make up for lost ground.
Yeah. And she goes to Gael School, and she had to get her grinds in the Institute of Education, just because they do Irish grinds. And, you know, she was, I suppose, to give her that bit of an advantage of learning the maths through Irish. And she just apologised to me over the weekend. She said, I'm sorry you wasted your money. She said, because nothing that she had covered in the grinds, even covered the questions on Friday.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, I'm sure, look, from your point of view, I mean, giving her that extra help over the course of the last year or so wasn't a waste of money. It was preparing for her for an exam.
Exactly.
Well, just hang on there, Ciara, and indeed anyone else who's calling, because somebody has been in contact with us who is familiar with the marking scheme, and they have been... a party to marking exams up until now, and they're of the view that there is also a disadvantage to people this year because of factors that were at play in other years. Let's hear from them now. This is voiced up by one of the team here.
I am contacting out of concern in relation to ATAL Maths Paper 1. Having been involved in marking at all levels, I fully understand that the marking of maths this year will be modified to suit the curve. But what I am most concerned about is the impact this contentious paper has had at a very important juncture in the timetable. They were facing a weekend with a mountain of revision to be done, and the upset, anxiety and fear that the paper caused will have long-lasting consequences. These are the very students who didn't sit the junior certificate. They did transition year as encouraged by their school, but are being penalised now. Their peers who were fortunate enough to sit the leaving certificate last year were given a time bonus, generous amendments, and accessible and fair questions. The present cohort were as impacted by the pandemic as the Leaving Certificate pupils of last year, but unfortunately are not being treated equally. I understand the papers have to challenge the students, but when maths teachers are shocked and saying that it wasn't a fair paper, what are the students who work diligently and tirelessly to do? For sure, Maths Paper 1 impacted on the revision this weekend, with some students having to face six papers in the first 3 days of this week alone. How unfair is that? As a teacher and a concerned parent of a Leaving Cert student, I hope these genuine concerns will be given due consideration in light of this overtly complex paper and its ramifications.
All right, Ciara, while you're digesting what that marker had to say and gathering your thoughts on that, we'll take a quick break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Hello again, Colm O'Mungine here, 0818 715 815, joe@rte.ie, 51551 for your text or WhatsApp us, 087 184 3709. We heard before the break from somebody who has been a marker. They're a teacher, they're the parent of a Leaving Cert student, and they were saying that this year's students, particularly disadvantaged, by comparison to people in previous years. Listening to that, Ciara, also a parent ringing us from Lucan. Would you agree with that? You said your daughter took a knock over on Friday that impacted her over the weekend as well.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, you know, didn't want to go in, didn't feel there was any point in sitting the second paper this morning because she didn't think that there'd be any comeback from the paper on Monday or on Friday. And also, you know, for the rest of her exams, like her confidence took a knock purely because of this one paper.
And how had things been going up to then? Because if she's taken higher level maths, she's in, you know, the upper percentile of people doing the Leaving Cert full stop. It's a big undertaking and a lot of preparation goes into it. So how had the other papers gone until she hit this bump?
Yeah, well, she only had, she'd English and geography on Friday morning, English over the Wednesday and Thursday, and they were fine. She's such a good student, you know, like she put the work in over the last 2 years and, you know, felt she was prepared, knew she'd, you know, she knew that the maths paper would be hard, but like that had, you know, studied it, had the extra grinds for it and just felt so deflated, her confidence knocked. She thought, you know, she said the questions were all trick questions, and you know what's going to happen with all the other papers for her exams. Would she be facing that as well? You know, an awful lot of emotions going through over the weekend.
And how were her friends about it? What did she say the general consensus was coming out?
The exact same.
Right, okay.
Yeah, the exact same. Like no one, you know, felt that they got the score that they would deserve, that would reflect, you know, what the work that they've put in over the last 2 years. And that was one of her, you know, one of the things she said, like, if they were getting predictive grades, not that she was wanting them, but if they had, like, you know, she'd expect to have got a H2, H3. But with that exam, she just couldn't answer the questions. They were like trick questions, you know, that just they hadn't studied. You know, the odd one or two she could, but not enough, she said, to pass in any way.
All right. Michael Hughes, you've just sat maths paper two. How'd you get on?
I personally thought it was still not as easy as the other past papers I've done, but it was still manageable, not as hard as paper one.
Right. So, you know, you went into the exam on Friday. You opened up the paper like everybody does. You're hunting through it for maybe the question you're going to start with, the one that'll ease you into the exam. Was there anything there to ease you into the exam? How was it?
I mean, I opened up that paper. I normally like the first question. It's normally algebra. Looked at it. I went, oh, I'm going to skip that one. Then went on to the second one. I was like, I'm skipping that one as well. I mean, I couldn't find one question that I liked. And right, that just made me nervous and I had to mentally just take a break and just look at him and be like, all right, let's get stuck in.
And when you skip the first one, as you say, you've got your question, algebra, the topic that you like, you see it and it doesn't suit you and you're now going for other topics that maybe suit you less, that you weren't banking on maybe doing as well in, or certainly not within the same comfort zone. What is the feeling like as that's happening?
I mean, it's a complete panic station, really. I mean, I'm normally quite relaxed. And I mean, I was in complete shock. I had to go to the toilet, had to water my face. I was in complete shock and I had to just reset and just get into it again.
Really? Just go out, splash some water on the face, just try and get yourself out of the environment and come back with fresh eyes.
Yeah.
And what did you find the trickiest and why?
I mean, I found everything tricky. I was in the last like 3 or 4 days before the exam, I was doing past paper questions from the years before. And, I mean, I walked into that exam and there were nothing like the questions.
And just phrased differently, structured differently for people who, you know, who maybe a few years since they've done the Leaving Cert or even people who did it last year who might be listening to this going, could it really be that different? How different was it?
Like instead of using numbers, they'd start using letters. One of the questions had emojis in them. It was complete mess.
And what was the atmosphere? I got a long time ago, 30 years ago at this stage, doing the Leaving Cert, there was something that was supposed to come up in English, the English paper, and it didn't come up. Everybody thought, a lot of people studied it, and I can still remember the word that's not repeatable on air that echoed around the exam hall that day. But could you pick up on the vibe in the hall as people were leafing through the exam paper like you were?
Oh, 100%. You could see everyone. I mean, you could see people start crying. Like, I mean, I heard stories that people were vomiting in the toilet. I mean, it was shocking.
And so you leave the exam. Did you stay the full duration and attempt all questions?
I did, yeah. But then when I walked out, everyone was in absolute distraught of what the paper was like.
Right, everybody just gathered out. Because, you know, the kind of received wisdom is don't get into a post-mortem after an exam. But it was hard to resist it, I'm sure, for people to even assure themselves that everybody found it as hard or equally hard. Was that the consensus?
Oh, 100%. Even like some people that are meant to be H1 students, they even were like, what the hell is this?
So people who were like top of your class, who again are going to be the people you'll go towards and say, well, maybe I struggled, but how did you find it? They struggled too.
They struggled, yeah. And they're like, they don't even know if they passed.
So you've been doing, like everybody does, practices on past papers and looking at past exam questions. In the response we got from the State Examination Commission, it said the Minister for Education, this is, gave a commitment that there would be no cliff edge or automatic return to pre-pandemic grade levels for Leaving Cert results this year. The commitment to avoid a cliff edge in the profile of results is likely to require an adjustment to the marks. So this idea of, you know, the bell curve adjusting the results for the performance of students, to give it its shorthand, is that any comfort to you?
I mean, no, not really. I mean, the bell curve's going to have to do some job to make sure that nearly 70% of all the population will not fail that maths exam, because that was some cliffhanger.
And there are people, you know, who maybe want to go on and study core. What are you looking to do after the Leaving Cert yourself?
I'm looking to do a business degree, so thank God I'm not doing a maths degree.
Right, but would higher level maths be a requirement for what you're looking to do?
It would be. Like, I'd have to pass higher level maths to get into my course, yes.
And there are others who you know, maybe thereabouts, middle honours maths mark, who might want to do something like engineering, where an honour in higher level maths is a requirement. What was the feeling like among students like that in your class, who, for whom it's make or break for the course they want?
I mean, they were just in absolute distraught. I mean, some of them were some of them couldn't even talk afterwards. Their speeches of what they just after done.
And were you talking to anybody from any other school? Because sometimes people go, well, maybe, you know, everybody sits the same paper, but people have different experience. Over the course of the weekend, what were people saying to each other from, you know, your wider peer group?
I mean, I would say, like, I was talking to a few people from other schools, and I was just like, oh, how did the exam go for you? And they were like, that was absolutely horrendous. That was shocking. And I haven't heard one person that said that exam was a nice or okay exam.
Now, as I said, we got that response from the State Examinations Commission, and they said that it took into account reforms or adjustments that were brought in previous years, you know, perhaps more choice, more time. But by comparison to previous years, do you think that's comparing like with like?
I mean, compared to previous years, like as I said, I think I've done every past paper question from 2015 to 2022. And I mean, I have not seen any questions that came up in that paper.
What's fair to you, Michael, in terms of a response to this? Because we heard earlier from Noel that, you know, the minister needs to come out and explain. She wants the minister to apologise. Pierce, the teacher in Limerick, hadn't thought of the option of a resit before, but, you know, he wouldn't be averse to it. Although, you know, Noel said that mightn't suit people who have other plans for the summer. But do you think there's a case to be made for potentially people of availing of a resit if that exam went so badly for them that they were unable to attempt certain questions?
I mean, yes, a resit's an option, but like during the summer, I think people just want to relax. And I mean, I think people just want to like take their mind off the leaving cert. I mean, after I'm done the leaving cert, I don't want to think about the leaving cert afterwards. But I mean, resit's definitely an option.
How did you manage over the weekend? I mean, look, you know, the strategy, you splashed some water in your face, you went in, you got on with the exam, you gave it your best shot. But over the weekend, in anticipation of paper two, how did you keep the head together and get the revision done?
I mean, I don't think I've ever studied harder during the weekend before, because I was just like, I need to do well in this paper if I want to have a chance of passing that.
And would it kind of affect your attitude to exams in the future in terms of the preparation for exams? I don't mean would you work hard, you're clearly somebody who works hard, but in terms of what you'd anticipate, would it be lurking in your back of your mind that maybe there might be a bit of an ambush in there?
100%. Like I definitely think that like some exams there could be so like tricky questions again. Like I've no clue what other exams are going to be like now after that maths paper one.
Right, but maths paper two anyway, you steadied you a bit today. It was a bit not easy, but slightly more along the lines of what you'd prepared for.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually like copeable.
Are you doing Irish today, Michael?
I'm not. I'm dyslexic, so I don't do Irish.
Right. And for people who are facing maths today and Irish and they were heading off into their next exam, where do you reckon they weighted most of their revision? Was it for maths paper two or Irish? I suppose that's a very long-winded way of asking you, do you think that the overcompensation for maths revision might have had a knock-on effect for their last-minute prep for Irish?
Well, 100%. I heard people that were only doing Irish study during that an hour and a half break that they had during the after the maths exam.
Patricia, where are you calling from?
I'm from Dublin.
So what happened?
Hello?
Yeah. And what happened this morning in your house?
Well, we were up. We didn't go to sleep till 2 o'clock. She wouldn't go to bed. So I had to wake her up at 5 o'clock this morning so she could try and, you know, study.
Patricia, hang on. Patricia,
can you hear me now?
I can just about. We're going to go to Sarita and we'll come back to you. We just want to check the quality of your line. We'll come back to you because we want to hear what you have to say and we want to get a bit of detail on it. So it wouldn't be fair to you or to the listeners to take it on the current quality of line. Sarita, what happened on Friday in your house?
Oh, we had a very obsessed boy. That's what happened. He was just devastated by the whole thing, as we all were. You know, they work very hard to get to where they are to do the higher paper. And he's only one of four in his school actually doing it. So it's a big deal and we're so proud of him. And
rightly so, yeah.
Absolutely. And maths is one of his favourite subjects, along with geography. So he was really looking forward to going in because it was maths and then geography in the afternoon. And or vice versa, and he just was totally knocked by the maths paper. Maths paper one in particular would have been his favourite out of the two papers from what he's done in school, and so he was expecting that to be his better paper on his higher marks, and he just found it incredibly hard.
He was expecting to end the week on a high in on his two favourite subjects to set him up for the second week.
Exactly, and he'd done great in the English paper, as far as he could tell himself. You know, it had gone really well. So everything had gone into it. Everything he could have thrown at us, he did. And now he thinks that he's just not going to get his points to get into the course that he wants to do in Maynooth. So were very upset about, as you can hear, and getting a bit emotional, you know?
Yeah, no, understandably. Look, I mean, you've been on the journey with them since, you know, since forever, but in secondary school and taking higher level maths after the junior cert, it's a big step to take, and particularly so, he's one of four kids in the school. What was the reaction of his teacher, did he say?
Yeah, his teacher is so upset over it all, you know, because she felt that they were going in well prepared. One of his classmates is expected to get straight A's across the board, and she left the exam in tears.
Left the exam at the end of the exam, or did she leave early?
She left a bit early, yeah. And another guy left early as well, and slammed the door on his way out. You know, they were just, and he spoke, and he got on then to his pals who were in a different school. And every single person that he's spoken to who was doing the same exam, not one had a good word to say about it. They all said that it was absolutely terrible.
And when he got home to you after the exams over the weekend, how was he?
He was very down. He was very, very down and very apprehensive about going in this morning to take the second paper, because, as I said, the second paper would have been his nemesis of the two papers. So, you know, the paper one would have been much better for him and more favourable.
How were you as you saw him off this morning heading towards the exam hall with that weight on his back?
Yeah, very worried, and just hoping that he didn't go to pieces, you know, because you've got to remember that when you've had such a shock like that, and then to try and get your thoughts and gather them and pull yourself together and sit more exams, like, that's not the end of it, you know, that you have to go and sit more exams and try and concentrate on them when you've basically just been knocked off and everything that you've worked for was just dashed. You know, it's very hard to pick yourself up.
Did he get a sleep last night, or did he manage his breakfast this morning?
Oh, no, he was in a terrible state, you know, and it's so bad that he's preparing, like, to recess if he has to. And, you know, I just think, so why should he have to? You know, I feel like whoever set the paper just was trying to catch them out. I just cannot understand it for the life of me. I can't. And if I was one parent standing on my own, you know, because it's my child and he didn't do well, but it's not. It's every parent almost around the country who has a problem with it, and every child and teachers. So somebody somewhere has done something incredibly wrong. This isn't a normal reaction to, you know, everyone gets a question or whatever that's difficult, of course, but that the whole paper was just so hard, it just doesn't make sense.
And any word on how he got on in paper two today?
No, I haven't heard from him, which makes me more anxious. He is sitting Irish in the afternoon, but he had got a few hours in between. But I'd imagine he was just head down, focused, trying to do his best now and all. His other exams to come, because maths paper one was so bad, and I'm hoping that maths paper two was a bit better and that he feels a bit better about himself now, and that he can pick up some points there that maybe he wouldn't have been so worried about before, but now it means everything, you know, to get those extra points.
Hopefully he felt the same way about it as Michael, who we heard from earlier. Michael, just before we go to a break, because we're going to take a quick break in a second, the statement that was given to our colleagues here in the newsroom from the State Examinations Commission, we got one of our own as well, but it said that each year candidates have encountered straightforward problems of a routine nature and ones which would have been less familiar to them and have required them to apply their mathematical knowledge and understanding in these less practiced contexts. Now, you went through the exam papers and practiced as much as you could. So what is a less practiced area, or what does that look like?
I don't really know, to be honest. Like, it was just like, even when you're looking back at the past papers, you could see there was a difficult part in a question that, yes, you might not get, but as soon as you look at the marking scheme, you start to understand. But as soon as I went into that maths paper, it all went out the window. Everything was so different. There was no similarity between the papers from the years before. There was nothing similar from the years before.
All right. Well, listen, the best of luck with the rest of your exams, Michael. I hope that the afternoon you have off today is of some advantage to you in the revision for the time ahead. And thanks very much for taking some time out of the busy schedule to talk to us today. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Patricia after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. On 0818 715 815.
Colm O'Mungine here, joe at rte.ie for the emails, 51551 for your texts, or 087 184 3709 if you want to send us a voice note or message on WhatsApp. Sarita, just going back to you, I mean, as a parent, trying to deal with the fallout of Friday, and, you know, I don't know whether you did higher level maths or not yourself, but it must be difficult to try and look through the paper and offer some words of comfort and boost the morale before Monday.
Oh, absolutely. I just kept on saying to him, look, all's not lost. We'll fix it, whatever it is. We'll resit it, or we'll try and do something else, you know, just anything to try and perk him up and not for him to just be all doom and gloom. So that was that. But as a parent, it's very hard. I have six children. So he's my second eldest, but I don't think I've ever felt so distraught for my child and so helpless, and like I'm right in there with him, you know. And so it is. It's very difficult.
He's in an exam hall for 3 hours on his own, and there's nothing you can really do for him there, is there?
No. No, and you can only hope and pray and have your fingers and toes and everything else crossed and have everyone else that knows you do the same. But like he's on his own, and you know, when they put it, I feel for them all so much, because when they put everything into it and they've done their studying, you know, they're not off doing what they're not meant to do and you know, playing games or whatever. They're knuckling down. They know how important it is. They've been told from yourselves, their teachers, and they're doing the studying, and then to be basically not to recognise anything that's on the paper. Now, I didn't do higher level myself. I dropped to ordinary level actually after my Leaving Cert mock, because it seemed hard, just too hard for me, and I wanted to get as many points as I could. But I was looking at it, and to me, because I did study obviously up to my Leaving Cert mock, I just found it like some of it was just incoherent. Like it just made no sense, you know. And you try and help them as much as you can and whatever, but I mean, I couldn't have sat the exam for him, and nor would I or anyone else. I mean, even I think the maths teachers are kind of scratching their heads and going, I'm sorry for you. It's like, we wouldn't have set you this exam. I just don't know, like, what's going to happen now, you know, and I just hope everything else goes to plan, and then we'll see what happens then at the end and we're at.
Yeah, and I hope paper two has gone well today and a bit of ground can be made up. Kieran, Sarita there saying incoherent. What's your analysis of the paper, or rather, what's your daughter's analysis of the paper?
Hi, Colm. Can you hear me?
I can indeed, yeah. Good afternoon to you.
So, look, Colm, just a couple of points. I think anyone that does honours maths expects that it's going to be challenging. I think that's a given, and it's a difficult decision for people to decide whether to honours or pass in some circumstances. But I think, and I'm not an expert on maths papers, but I think this paper was somewhat nasty, elitist, cryptic, and it was certainly a change in tone and tenor.
Elitist.
And I think,
just explain what you mean by that.
Well, look, I think now I'm not an expert on maths papers, Colin, but I think it sounds like that there was an extra twist on the questions that made it more difficult to decipher exactly what the examiner was looking for. And I think for a student who's middle of the road honours maths student, who's put in plenty of work, who's trying hard, found that paper, you know, very, very challenging. And I'd make a few other points as well. I think it affected students' confidence over the whole weekend and their whole plan for their Leaving Cert. And that certainly was a challenge in our house to manage that over the weekend.
And also, how do you get things back to a steady place over the weekend after Friday?
You just try and be as supportive as you can. And I think one of your callers earlier mentioned that you know, friends and peers were very helpful in the fact that so many people were in the same boat. The exam finished, the paper one finished at 4:30 on Friday. I rang a friend of mine, I rang my daughter at a 4:45 and I spoke to her and she was upset but managing it fairly well. And I rang a friend of mine whose wife had collected his daughter from a school 70 kilometres away. She said when she drove into the school ground, she thought somebody had died. There were so many students distraught. And another school about 20 kilometres away, neighbour's child was came out of paper one and all the boys were crying. So, or a lot of them were crying. And, you know, it has consequences too, Colin, for the next generation of math students. Like, I have a daughter a year younger and she's saying her friends are, I've heard all about this and they're saying, well, I'm dropping the past maths.
Right, that
happened to me.
This has become a horror story that they don't want visited on them.
It has, yeah, it has. And look, do you know what? I said this at the beginning of my things here. Like, everyone expects to be challenged, but you also expect there to be some fairness in it.
And Ciarán, I mean, I heard that the answers were posted on social media afterwards, which probably doesn't make it any easier for somebody who's had a hard time of it to then see what the answers to the questions were, you know, so soon afterwards. Did your daughter have a look at that?
No, no. We were trying to move it on, so we're trying to support her. And I mean, she's resilient, and I mean, you know, they're young adults too, Colm. Like, we don't, in our house anyway, we don't expect them to be wrapped up in cotton wool. You know, life has its challenges, and it was her decision to do honours maths, and we support her in that decision. And she, you know, I admire her for taking on that challenge, but we expect a degree of fairness, and I think given the reaction in so many places from so many people, the pitch of this paper was wrong. It was wrong. And I mean, I don't have a solution for that, but
Patricia,
somebody needs to accept that it was wrong. You know?
Patricia, Ciarán's looking for fairness there. He doesn't think it was got. What do you think?
No, not at all. I think it was a disgrace on the poor students. They came out and all over the weekend, then all they were worrying about was their maths paper two, trying to make up for what they'd lost on paper one. And then they didn't know whether paper two was going to be the same, have a twist in it.
And who's sitting it in your house? Your daughter?
Yeah.
And how is she on Friday? I mean, what, you know, was she looking forward to the exam or was she nervous about it in advance herself?
Well, she knew it was going to be a challenging paper. Like, she needs it. She wants to do science in you know, next year, hopefully, and she needed to have at least a pass in maths, you know. She excelled in the sciences, you know, not necessarily in the maths, but she needed this, and she worked really, really hard. She was studying past papers. That's what the teachers have said, you know, just go over all the past papers and, you know, exam papers, and that's what she'd done. She's up in that room and hasn't gone out, and I don't know how long, study. And she said when she turned the paper over, she said her stomach just turned and she just panicked because she said half of them she'd never seen before.
Just that was it. She didn't see anything she'd recognised. She saw nothing she recognised.
She went blank. She totally went blank and panicked.
And how did she deal with it, Patricia? I mean, we heard from Michael there.
Well,
Michael there, who went out to the toilet and splashed water on his face and came back in and had another crack at it. I mean, how did she try and rescue the rest of the exam for herself after the initial panic?
She just panicked the whole way through. She said she could see people who were visibly upset in the exam hall. She knew, you know, but it's just, they weren't prepared. That's not what they were, you know, revising. You know what I mean? Whatever way they did it this year, it was like it hit the pit of her stomach. She said when she turned it around and saw what it was, she was not seeing. You know, you're not expecting that.
And people would expect, I suppose, at the end of a hard week of exams, after an awful lot of work, to have put that behind them and rest and recover and maybe get a bit of a sleep in at some point over the weekend to set themselves up for this week. How did your daughter manage the weekend?
She barely slept. I tried to get her to go last night early or whatever. I can't. I have too much to do. I can't. Now, this is someone, like a lot of the students that have been preparing for months and months for this. And she says, I can't sleep. I said, she couldn't. So I was up until 2:00 downstairs. She was upstairs in her room, and she said, "I want to be woken up at 5:00 tomorrow morning."
Did she get any? What time did she get off to sleep at?
I'd say she probably got asleep at 2 o'clock, and then she was. I went up at 5 o'clock, and she's there at her desk.
She was already up at 5 o'clock.
Was up. Yeah.
So hardly any sleep.
Hardly any sleep. She went in, and this morning I dropped, and there was tears in her eyes walking in there.
And how were you feeling as you drove away?
I was just upset myself. Yeah, you know, looking at your, like, you're not wrapping them in cotton wool, like, you know, you need, they know they need to. And she studied, they all studied, most of them, you know, they just trying to do their best. And after the last couple of years that they're after having, thinking, oh, well, maybe, you know, we'll be okay, I'll be okay at this. And then for that to happen, and then the worry of what was happening this morning, what they were going to go in and face. She didn't know whether it would be familiar to her, what she'd been taught, what she'd been revising, you know.
And what do you want to see on foot of this, Patricia? Because, you know, as I've said a couple of times with this statement we got from the State Examination Commission, the minister committing to no cliff edge this year. And
oh no, like the woman said earlier on, they were put on the bus and that bus was pushed over, because I'm telling you now, that's how they feel. And I don't know how this is going to affect her now for the next few days' exams, because she couldn't even look at an Irish over the weekend. She didn't open a book in Irish. She said, I can't, I have to do this, I have to do this.
Right, so all the last minute or final prep for exams, and by what you're telling me, she's no crammer, she's a steady bit merchant, and this would have been just the last revision of carefully prepared notes that was out the window.
Out the window. And because I'm not a maths teacher myself, I didn't know how to help her over the weekend. I couldn't help her. Only try and support her and whatever. But anything I said, you can imagine what I was like, walking around thinking, what am I going to do, you know? Yeah. Anything I could have done to help her, I would have, but I couldn't. There was nothing, you know. They heard from the teacher, just said it was a strange paper. So.
And sure, and if, you know, unless you've been doing higher level maths along with them all year, any reassuring noises you're trying to make of, I'm sure you'll be fine, you're in, run the risk of having the head bitten off you with, you know, what would you know?
That happened a couple of times, but. And as far as sitting again, I think if I said to her, you can sit again, she's too, at the moment, I'd say she's too traumatised to even think of looking at a maths paper ever again in her life.
So do you want someone to come out and acknowledge, look, it was different this year, it was harder this year? Do you want some explanation as to why it was the way it was? Would that be a good start from your point of view?
And to do something about it, because admitting that it was a hard paper and this or that is not going to make any difference to these. And in any way, it's after affecting the rest of the exams. I can see that happening now because, you know, the way her mental health at the moment, the way her head is, you wouldn't know, you know what I mean? It's, you know, it panics everyone, you know?
Yeah, even on the practical level, as you were saying, sleep alone and the last minute revision of Irish. Sean, you're nearly a quarter of a century teaching maths. How did this rank as a paper in your view?
I've been teaching honours maths for 20 years and I teach related subjects as well, like applied maths, physics, and I teach in CBS and S. Diamond, but I also teach, I teach online a lot through Grind and so on, and I've been in contact with teachers from different schools and students from different schools because of that.
So was this the exam you were preparing students for?
Not at all. I think there was a quote from Ardal O'Hanlon from a couple of years ago, the comedian, in one of his shows, and it was the first thing that came to my mind. And he had this quote. He says, "My dream is to interview Neil Armstrong at Lint and never once mention the moon." And that's what it must have felt like inside in that test. You know, that quote gives a sense of what it's like to be inside in that exam. I mean, the stuff that you did, the stuff that you prepared, you know, you could have done every exam paper for years and, you know, it just didn't look familiar. It was too challenging. I mean,
did you have a stab at it yourself?
Yeah, I picked out some questions. I picked out some of the questions. I haven't the whole thing done, but I know, I mean, my students' reactions are enough. I know by looking at the style, I've got a sense of the style of what the examiner is trying to do.
And did you have a Leaving Cert class this year, Sean?
I did, yeah. I have Leaving Cert class in my own school, but I've also teach, again, through Grind and so on. I'd have students from, I teach online a lot, so I'd have students from across the country, basically. And, I mean, so I'd have a very good representation of students from across schools, and their reaction is absolutely the same everywhere.
How are you feeling? Are you annoyed about it?
Yeah, absolutely very angry about it and disappointed for my students and for my subject as well. I mean, I love my subject. You know, you teach a subject because you love it and you're passionate about it and you want kids to love yours. I mean, okay, it's used for points for getting into college, which is an unfortunate evil, but first and foremost, you want people to love your subject. And my worry is kids who might have loved the subject, for kids who are really good at maths this time, it's not just weaker students, it's everybody across the board. Kids who love the subject and who have loved it for 13 years that they've been in the education system, they get this one paper. Everything that they know about their subject is compressed into this final exam. And their sense of self-worth, how they value themselves at this subject, has been compressed into that one exam.
All right. And the knock-on effect to the next year, I mean, they may go on and yeah. they may raise families themselves, and they may, you know, when they start talking about exams, they'll talk about their experience in maths, and that might affect yes. the attitude that their own children have. Can you just explain something to me? Maybe you can translate this sentence yeah. from the State Examinations Commission saying, candidates have encountered both straightforward problems of a routine nature and ones which would be less familiar to them, and they've been required to apply their mathematical knowledge and understanding in these less practiced contexts. I mean, it's either on the course or it's not. So what does that mean?
Yeah, of course. As I said, like, it's on the course, but it's on the fringes. A lot of these things are on the fringes of the course. I mean, lots of things. I went to examiners' talks over the years, and examiners use the phrase, I've heard the past examiners talking. They use this phrase, gettable at, and that opens up everything. I mean, you can have a topic that's on the course, but you can, you can give the student enough information in the exam to build up to kind of tackle a certain question that's on the fringes of the course. It's not that simple. I mean, there's topics on the course that we'll say that they're on the course, but it was the way they were asked, you know. I mean, you can send things on the course, but it's the way it's asked, and it's the style of the question. It's right. the way a student during the week said that paper didn't flow. You know, a good paper should flow almost like an English piece of literature or something in some ways. It didn't flow at all. The pieces didn't fit together. Right. A person who kind of loves the subject, who has a feel for the subject, wouldn't get a feel for the subject from the way the paper flowed, right. basically.
Sean, and we're going to have to take a break. We've got loads of calls. Loads of people have been in contact, as you can well imagine, people as exercised as yourselves. We're back after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Colm O'Mungoyne here, joe@rte.ie, 51551 for your text, 087 184 3709 for your WhatsApp. Derry Morley, good afternoon to you.
How are you? Colm, is it?
It
How
is,
are you,
Colm? It is indeed, Derry. Not
yes.
one.
Listen, sorry for bothering you now, but I've been tuned in there with the last while, and I suppose I'm in the unique position that I taught maths for a long part of my life. I was actually a metalwork and drawing teacher, but my third subject was maths. Now I have.
It's not the only reason you're in a unique position, Derry. Tell us about who you had sitting the leaving this year.
I do have triplets doing leaving cert, yes.
Triplets?
And triplets, yes, two girls and a boy. Now, the boy, about a month ago, decided to go down to ordinary level.
So he had a good weekend.
Well, he had a good weekend. But now, in fairness, I just said to your researcher, I spoke to the two girls at lunchtime and they had a very good second paper of right. maths.
So
they were very happy with the second paper of maths today. So to some extent, that has slightly compensated, but at the same time, they were absolutely gutted over the weekend.
How are they going in this morning?
They had relaxed because the teachers had rang them and the teacher said, look, you're not alone here. Something is going to have to be done with this paper. There's going to have to be so many H1s. There's going to have to be so many H2s. So, like, if the good people are struggling, what chance of the weaker ones? So they reckon that, like, they were saying the paper was so difficult and the students had so little done on it that it would even be difficult for the persons correcting or the people correcting to differentiate between the sort of what would have been the H1s, the H2s, right down to the H4s or 5s.
And tell us about the two girls. I mean, we wish your son, who dropped to ordinary level, all the best with yes. the rest of his exams and glad he didn't have to undergo what they went through. But they're That's clearly cool. bright, they're clearly they're talented, so they've taken the higher level. Yes. So how were they on Friday?
They were absolutely, I suppose, they were quite upset when I picked them up on Friday because, like I said, one of the girls has her heart set on finance which is probably 570-80 points. Maths was her strong one. She did home economics, she did English, and she was very happy. But she said, look, at least the maths aren't going to pose a problem. I have done the last 10 years maths paper, higher level, ordinary level, paper one, paper two. And she said, nothing can come up that will be new to me. And she came out and she said, Dad, I spent the first 20 minutes looking up and down through the paper to see was there anything I could attempt.
Derry, how do you get three through the Leaving Cert, even in terms of allocating study space and keeping them out of each other's way and everything like that, and managing the stress around exams?
Actually, Colm, you know, I would say it's probably not as bad as it sounds, because they sort of complement one another. They help one another with different problems, and they control one another. But like I said, the two girls on Friday, they're just, their whole world had fallen apart.
And were both of them happy enough with paper two today? Did they both
very happy, yes. They were both very happy with paper two today.
And how did you feel about it? You must have been delighted for them, were you? Because you were probably worried yourself over the weekend.
I mean, when you have two daughters that are up in their room crying, and they're sort of saying, look, there's no point now. Our expectations, our aspirations have been hammered. We are not going to get what we thought we were going to get. And all you're trying to do is say, look, they're going to have to correct it easy. They're going to have to do something. The whole country at large is complaining about it. I suppose it's worse, Colm, when somebody comes out from an exam and everybody else coming out is saying, ah, yeah, it wasn't too bad. But like when everybody, I went in to the school on Friday, and I don't think, now mainly the girls, every single one of them were in there crying. You know? And I mean, there is something wrong. I suppose, Colm, the most reason I rang. Look, if a TD, if somebody in Cork County Council, if somebody in Dublin City Council, if they make a boo-boo like this, they're expected to come on air, come on social media and explain to people what they had intended, what the original expectations by them were, and okay, it went all wrong. But like what is annoying me, having worked in the department for 42 years, what is annoying me is that nobody in the department, as far as I can see, has come out and said, look, we made a mess of it.
Well, they've sent out, as I say, they sent out a statement to us, and there's a document, a PDF document, a text document on examinations.ie/MASC-doc/EN-57529942.pdf if people want to look up what the adjustments were for this year. But I mean, that was released in a statement to us as opposed to
general broadcast. Colm, you know as well as I do, even what you've read out to me, to most people, certainly out the country, is double Dutch. How do you even go in to read that document? And possibly if you go in to read it, it's probably written in a certain way that at the end of it all, you're as wise when you finish as when you started.
So what do you want to see? You want an explanation, Derry.
Do you know something? As I said, I've been teaching, and God knows we all make mistakes. But if I made a mistake, I came out, I put my two hands up, and I said to a parent, look, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done that, and I'm sorry.
That'd be a good start.
Anything I can do. And to me, the person that set that paper, and surely before it saw the light of day, there were other inspectors or other maths teachers that sat down and gave that paper the go-ahead.
Right,
surely there should be men enough now to come on air and say, look, this is what we had intended. We are quite, like your last speaker said, like, it's possibly, they can probably justify it because it's on the curriculum.
Well, they say those involved are experts in the subject and experienced teachers, and as part of the normal development process, the mathematics papers were reviewed by subject experts before they were finalised in order to assess their suitability, appropriateness of how they assess various learning outcomes as set out in the specification, the clarity of language in them, and the demand they present. Maria, is that what your son faced on Friday?
Yeah, he honours maths, came out absolutely devastated. He's a good honours maths. He's well capable, no grinds, no nothing. And he said it was just the most bizarre. That was the word I heard from a lot of six-year students, was it was just bizarre. Like emojis for questions that they've never seen before. Yeah, just, you know.
Right, so when the statement says clarity of language, that's not what he saw, is it?
No, not at all. And it's just like, you know, I know the local girls' school, he's in an all-boys school, but the girls' school, the invigilator was actually handing out tissues to the girls as they were doing their exams because they were crying during that maths paper.
An equal opportunities horror for all concerned. We're going to take a break. We're back after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Well, it unleashed a flood of tears on Friday, higher level maths paper one, and an avalanche of emails to us. Honestly, so many people in touch by text, by email, talking about how distraught people they know were, their children, teachers getting in contact as well, students themselves, some of whom you heard on air. An absolute deluge of texts and emails and contacts into us all day. But that's our lot for today. Harry Bucklis was on sound. The broadcast coordinator today was Shane Galvin. The producer was Brenda O'Donoghue. I'm Cullum O'Mungoyne, and Catherine Thomas is up next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.